All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. We'll go ahead and begin. It's time to begin, so we'll begin in just a moment with a word of prayer. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 111. Psalms 111 this morning for our lesson. Our lesson just covers this one chapter. There's only 10 verses in the chapter. It's a short lesson today, but we'll look at some important things that we'll find here in Psalms chapter 111. Well, Brother Greg, I guess in sports and college, you got bragging rights on one game in football, but the bad thing is in basketball you got to go two rounds. So that's, I guess, if you could, what's that?
It's not good.
It's not good. All right. Well, but a beautiful day outside this morning, sun shining, and a beautiful day yesterday as well. And hope you've had a good week. Now we begin a new week, and I think this is always a good way to start, being in the Lord's house on Sunday. And we'll look at some things that we can find here in Psalms 111. Let's do pray first, and then we'll discuss a couple of things, and then we'll get right into our lesson in Psalms 111. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you once again for this Sunday that we have, that we come together, that we come and unite together here in this place. We pray for your blessings upon all that is said and done today. We pray for the message this morning and this evening. We pray for Brother Richardson that you would anoint him. We also thank you, Lord, for our guests this morning, and we pray that we could be a blessing and a help unto them. We also, Lord, pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, we are a needy people. Lord, we need encouragement. We need instruction. Lord, we pray that you would just grant that today here in this place. We do pray, Lord, for our country this morning. Lord, that our country would, Lord, see its need of Lord, turning back to you for leading and guiding and directing in our nation, and we pray for that this morning as well. We do uplift our missionaries that we support this morning. Lord, they are a needy people as well. They need your power. They need wisdom. They need guidance, and we pray that you would grant that unto them. We also pray that you would meet their needs that they may have this morning, whether it be ministry needs, financial needs, physical needs. We just pray that you would just bless in their life today and give them an extra special blessing today. We do pray for those in our midst this morning who have prayer requests. We pray that you would just take and meet the needs that they have. Lord, we also want to uplift those that who have lost loved ones or maybe friends that are lost that need salvation. We pray for them that, Lord, you would bless and that you would help them to see their need of salvation. Help us to be a good witness and a good testimony unto them. And, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do our part in being a witness to those who need salvation this morning. We pray now that you bless our Sunday school time. We pray for your help and your blessing upon all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalms chapter 111 this morning for our lesson. As I mentioned to you, there's only 10 verses in this chapter, a very easy-to-read chapter, a very simple chapter, but yet a chapter that has a lot of good instruction for us this morning. You'll find in Psalms 111, Psalms 112, and Psalms 113, they all three start off the same by making the statement, "Praise ye the Lord." And we're going to find as we go back and focus just once again, I made a lot of comments on this last week, but I guess as I have, as I read through the book of Psalms and study the book of Psalms, it reminds me of several things. And I guess one of the most important things that I find in the book of Psalms is how much the people of God were encouraged to praise God. And that ought to be something that comes natural to the people of God, but I think also, on the other hand, it is something that ought to be a constant reminder unto us of the importance of praising God. I think praising God does many things. Number one, it lets a lost world see the goodness of God. We have to realize that we live in a dark days, we live in a dark hour, we live in a dark world, and the world needs to see the goodness of God. The world needs to hear about the good things of God and what God is doing and what God has done. And I also find the importance of praising God to a lost and dying world, but also we find the importance of praising God even in His sanctuary, as you'll find in the book of Psalms. I think it's important that we realize of the importance of praising God among God's people. God's people need to be reminded of the goodness of God. Lost people need to be reminded about the goodness of God. Saved people need to be reminded about the goodness of God. And God has been good unto us.
We find that in the book of Psalms, we are encouraged over and over that we as the people of God need to look for reasons to praise God. We need to open up our minds and our eyes and see all that God is doing, because it's easy to get one track in our mind, and sometimes we get to the point where we are influenced of all the negative things that are going on in this world, that we tend to forget about all the good things that are going on in this world. So in the book of Psalms, we'll find that the people of God are encouraged over and over and over and over and over of the importance of praising God for all that He has done for them. Now, I believe it's still important for us to realize and see the goodness of God that surrounds us. Whether we see it or not, there's a lot of good things going on around us, and God's doing a lot of great works in our life this morning. It's important for you to find them. It's important for you to look for them. It's important for you to find reasons to praise God. And to find reason means that you've got to find maybe works that God has performed. And you're going to find in this chapter that they are encouraged to praise God for the works of God in their life. The psalmist here, we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm here, but we find that the psalmist is encouraging the people of God to look around, find reasons to praise God, because God is doing a lot of great works in their midst. And by the way, God is still in the great works business. He still performs great works. God is still doing good works. God is still doing great things in the day and age that we live in as well. Also, we find in the book of Psalms that we are, as a people of God, encouraged to share this praise with others. We ought to share the blessings of God. We ought to share the goodness of God. We ought to share with others what God has done for us or what God is doing for us. And other people need to hear about that. It encourages the hearts of others. But also, you know, I find it to be very true. When I praise God, and I know that according to the book of Psalms, that I am encouraged or I am commanded, I am pushed, if you would, to share praises with others about all the goodness of God. But not only does it help the heart of the others that I share the blessings with, but it also does something for me as well. It turns my eyes from the negative. It turns my eyes off the problems. It turns my eyes off the negative things in life, and it focuses my attention on the positive things in life. And that's very important to the child of God. We need to see the good things. We need to be encouraged of what God is doing and what God is going to do. So we find that as well. And it's important that we see the good in the world that we live in. People will make comments, well, there's not a lot of good in this world. And in times that may be true, but I'm afraid sometimes our flesh tends to go in that mindset that there's not a lot of good in this world. But I've got news for you, there's a lot of good in this world. May I remind us that God is still on the throne, that God is in control, that we are gifted today a day of life, and I just believe that when God allows me to live today and God gives me life today, there's a lot of good things going on in life today. So we've got to realize, oh yeah, there are a lot of bad things happening. Boy, you watch the news and it's all bad. Everything's bad, and terrorism on the uprise, and it's going to now branch out into every country, and it's just a matter of time before it happens here, and all that going on in the news. But and that may be true, but I realize this morning that God is in control of this world. He is on the throne. He is still working. There is still a job to be done. God still has purpose today. That's why we're living today. So, dear friend, on the other hand, there's a lot of good things happening today. So the psalmist here, as we begin in Psalms 111, it begins by saying, "Praise ye the Lord." Important that you understand in your life the importance of praising God. He goes on in verse number 1, "I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." So we find here that the psalmist is instructing here and kind of maybe giving a little bit of a testimony of his own life that, hey, he just basically says, I'm just going to praise God. I mean, God's been good. God's performed works in my life, as you'll find in this psalm here. So the psalmist is admitting here in verse number 1 that he has a purpose. His purpose is he is going to praise the Lord. And he says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. This is an individual that has a lot that he wants to say. He has a lot of praise in his heart for God. And you'll find that is very, very important. Now, as I read verse number 1, this person that writes or pens this psalm here, I gain very, very quickly that this individual is on top side. This is a positive individual. This is a happy individual. This is an exciting individual. The kind of person that I'd like to be around. I like being around exciting people. I like to be around people that are happy. I like to be around people that are exciting. I like to be around people that have a smile on their face. And not only do I enjoy being around them, but people like that help me. Reminding me of the importance of being on top side. We don't have to live in the valleys. Now, life is going to have valleys, and I understand we all go through the valleys of life. We all struggle with problems. We all have heartaches. We all have heartbreaks. We have disappointments. We have sin. We have faults. We all have all that in life. And there's going to be those low points in life. But, dear friend, I don't want to live there all the time. I may have to go through the valley, but praise be to God this morning, I don't have to stay in the valley this morning. There is a mountaintop. You know, one of the great things about a valley, there's always a mountaintop right by. There is a higher plane, if you would. You may be down in the lower part of the valley, but, oh, praise God this morning, you don't have to stay down there. There's a valley, yes, but there's also a mountaintop. There is a higher plane that we can acquire. And may I say this morning that God's done a lot of great things in life. So right off the bat, you'll find it's a positive psalm. It is a uplifting psalm. It is someone who is just determined they're going to praise the Lord. Doesn't matter if anybody else is going to join in. He says real quickly, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord with all my heart, my whole heart, he says here. He has given you an insight into the condition of his heart, and his heart is full of praise unto God. You know, this morning, if every believer this morning would just determine this week that, boy, I'm going to live on top side and I'm going to fill my heart full of praise unto the Lord, you know, we might make a difference in this world we live in. You know, the world doesn't need to see a believer always down in the dumps, always discouraged, always sad, always upset, never happy, never glad, never satisfied. I mean, the world doesn't need to see that in a believer. I mean, a lost and dying world needs to see a believer who has praise in his heart for what God has done. So the psalmist continues. He says in verse 1, praise ye the Lord. So he's telling the others, hey, it's, you know, he's telling others that you need to praise the Lord. And then he says, he makes it personal unto himself. He says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. So he tells you right off the bat why he is full of praise, because of the works of God in his life. Now, there's not a soul here this morning that can make the statement that God hasn't done anything for me. God's done everything for you. The reason you're breathing air this morning is because of God. The reason you have air to breathe this morning is because of God. The reason you're alive this morning is because of God. The reason you had the health to come to church this morning is because of God. Everybody in this room this morning has much to praise God for, because he's done a lot for us. So he tells you right off the bat in verse number 2 why he is happy, why he's excited, why he's on top side, why he is praising God. He says the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work, so you'll find that word work, it's talking about God's work in his individual life. He is testifying of the works or what God has done for him personally. All right? So he reflects back on the wonderful works of God. We find the word works mentioned in verse number 2. We find in verse number 3 his work, talking about the work of God. You see, the psalmist here is not praising God for all that he's done. He's praising God for all that God has done in his life. You see, it's not about the psalmist here, it's all about God here. All the attention is directed towards the works of God in his life. So he says in verse number 3, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He is describing who God is in his life. The psalmist looks around and says, I can't believe how good God's been to me. The psalmist looks around in his life and he sees the work here of God in his life, and he said, boy, the work of God is very evident there in my life, and it's very obvious God's presence here in my life. And this psalmist, he just can't help himself. He says, praise ye the Lord. He's encouraging everybody in verse number 1 to praise God. He also mentions in verse number 1, hey, I personally. He mentions the word I in verse number 1. So he's describing himself and how that he's going to praise God. Why? Because of the wonderful works of God in verse number 2. He describes God's work in verse number 3 as honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever, meaning the righteousness of God is never going to run out. And just mark it down, the word righteousness means basically God is right. When it really comes down to it, he is the only one that is right. Everybody in this world is trying to claim that how that they're right. The only one that's really right this morning is God. And the righteousness of God endureth forever in verse number 3. Verse number 4, he hath made his wonderful works, there it is once again, to be remembered. So he uses the word works again in verse number 4. So if you don't catch on here, the psalmist is basically describing what God is and has done in his life. You say, well, you know, the psalmist here must have had something, God maybe had done something really great in his life. Hey, dear friend, God's done something great in everybody's life this morning. There is not a soul in this room this morning that can say that God hasn't done something great in your life. I mean, just try to describe salvation. That's a pretty great work right there. I look around this morning. I don't see anybody in this room that's starving. In fact, it looks like we're doing pretty good on the eating part. We're all healthy when it comes to the food in the refrigerator. We all have food in our homes, and we all have a home this morning. I don't know of anybody in this room that's homeless. I don't know of anybody in this room this morning that doesn't have a roof over their head. Everybody in this room, as far as I know this morning, probably has an automobile. You say, well, those are just basics in life. Well, I beg a differ with you this morning. You go around the world and you'll find out there's a lot of people that don't even have those three things we just mentioned this morning. There's a lot of people this morning that don't have a roof over their head. There's a lot of people this morning in this world that don't have something to eat. There's a lot of people this morning that health-wise are deteriorating because they don't have good water, food to eat, a roof over their head. And because of that, they struggle with health problems in life. Do you realize this world is full of people this morning that do not have adequate water, food, and shelter this morning? But yet we have it. We have much more than that. Most everybody this morning, you'll go home this afternoon, and if it's a little hot in your home, you'll turn on the AC. If it's a little bit cold in your house, you'll turn it over to heat. We all have pretty much central heat and air, where it's uncommon in most of the world still to this day. I can remember going on some mission trips, and I was amazed when I went to Europe one time how that when you ordered something to drink, often you had to ask for ice because ice was not readily available in a lot of locations. In fact, in some cases, you paid extra for ice. Well, we go home today and boy, we'll fill our glass completely full of ice and pour some tea in that glass and we never think another thing about it because we are so blessed of God this morning that I'm afraid that it's blinded us. Oh, dear friend, God is so good to us. I look at the news and I see those places in the Middle East and so forth and the total destruction that's taking place in those parts of the world, and it's only by the grace of God that I was born in America. Do you realize God could have allowed you to be born in Iraq? Hey, God could have allowed you to be born in Afghanistan and grow up in a country like that, a third world country that's so far behind on the times. We can't comprehend what it would be like living in a country like that, but it's only by the grace of God that you don't live in a country like that. And sometimes we seem to struggle to praise God. I wonder sometimes when we offer some praise to God, how shallow it probably is when God has a complete view of what's going on around the world. And all we can focus on are our little problems here. And I'm not saying that we don't have problems, but a lot of times our problems are very minute compared to the world problems. The psalmist says here, I'm going to praise God. I can't help it. It's going to come out of my heart. I'm going to praise God with all my heart. He encourages others to be a part of this praise in verse number 1. He talks about the works of the Lord in verse number 2. He describes the work of God in verse number 3. Verse number 4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. I mean, you could just take that one verse right there and take a few words and you realize, man, I got a lot to praise God for. I can praise God for God being a gracious God. I can praise God for the compassion that God has towards me and how that God loves me and God cares for me and God provides for me. I mean, we could go on and on and on this morning, but we all have much to praise God for. He goes on in verse number 5. He has given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. Talking about God. You know, just you can mark it down. God's going to keep His end of the bargain. The promises that you find in the Word of God, you don't have to worry about them. God's going to keep His promises. The only thing we have to be worried about this morning is our promises. You don't have to worry about God. God's going to come through. You don't have to worry about God. God's going to perform what He says He's going to perform. You don't have to worry this morning about the love of God. You know, you don't have to go to bed this evening and lay your head on a pillow and worry, wondering, does God's love still endure? I mean, does God still have love? Is God still a compassionate God? I mean, you don't have to worry about all that. Why? Because you know for a fact this morning that God is going to take care of His end of the bargain. The only struggles we have this morning is ourself. And so many times we live life and we get so sucked into the news of the day and the negative and the darkness of the day and the deterioration of society, not only society, but the entire world. And if we're not careful, we'll allow that to affect our heart where we become just like them. And we're not like them. We're a child of God. God's our Heavenly Father. He's our Savior. It's God that's on the throne. It's God that's building us a mansion in heaven. Hey, we've got to realize this morning that we can't stoop down to the world's level of discouragement and darkness and negative, just being negative and dreary and down and sad all the time. Now, we're going to have experiences like that because we live in a very difficult world. But we can't stay down there. We've got to rise up to the mountaintop and realize God is still good. This morning, Brother Greg lost his father just recently. It's very difficult. I mean, your mind automatically races back to your childhood and your upbringing and your times that you've had with maybe a mom or a dad or a close loved one, whoever it may be in your life. And those are very, very difficult days, and those are struggles, and those are dark days. But, dear friend, you can't live down there. You can't stay down there. You've got to rise up and realize, even after the heart is broken, that God is still good, and it's God that mends the heart in the first place. We find in verse number 5 that he's talking about God. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. he will ever be mindful of his covenant. So the last part of that verse, you don't have to worry about the mind of God. He's the only sane one out of all that we have. I mean, God's mind is very mindful of his covenant. He's not going to forget of the promises that he has made unto God's people. Verse number 6, he hath showed his people the power of his works. That word once again, find their works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. So we find the word works, or the power of his works, listed in verse number 6. So over and over and over, the psalmist is reminding himself and also others as he sings this praise unto God about the wonderful works of God and the power of his works in verse number 6. I mean, God is a powerful God this morning. We find in verse number 7, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. The word verity there means to be sure. It's settled. It's not going to change. It's steady, if you would. It's not going to slack up. And we find here in talking about the hands of God. He said, look at verse number 7 once again. The works, all right, there's that word again, of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. I just believe this morning the psalmist, his complete foundation and his complete strength came from the Word of God. He was assured of the works of God. He was assured of the hand of God. He was assured of the commandments of God. This psalmist was full of praise. And over and over and over, he's reminding us as he gives this praise unto God, that he reminds us that he is completely focused on the works of God in his life. I believe the psalmist could look around in his life and point out, there's God in my life, God's done that in my life, God helped me there, God protected me there, God lifted me up there. I mean, I think he just looked everywhere in his life, and everywhere he looked in his life, he could find the hand and the working of God in his life. And that's where we have to go. We have got to get away from this negative, it's all doom and gloom, there's no hope. We've got to realize that God is still alive this morning. And since God is still alive and God's allowed us to live another day, there are a lot of great works that God is performing even today. I think it was a movie made not too long ago. What is it? God's Not Dead. I think it was the title of the movie and so forth. And a good title at that. And we have to be reminded this morning, God is not dead. I've got news for you. He's alive and well. Well, I watched a little bit of the news this morning, and it's primarily about all the different terrorists and so forth. And then they go to another segment about the economy kind of rebounding, but don't get too happy about that because it's looking like it's going to have another downturn. And the reason they're saying is because the price of oil has gotten too cheap. Before, it was all doom and gloom. We couldn't afford to drive down the road because gas was too high. Now they're saying it's too low. Have you ever found, no matter what happens, they always spin it in a negative way? I'm just going to be honest with you. I praise God now that I get gas compared to what we were paying for gas. I thought about it this morning coming to church, and I think down at Ideal Market, I think it's $1.92, I think, this morning or something like that, I believe. And price keeps going down, and I'll be honest with you, I don't get upset watching it go down. And I praise God that I can pump gas now, and you can put, $30, $40, $50 in your tank now, and you get about a full tank. Used to, it didn't give that much with a $50 bill. But then I thought to myself as I passed by, but I wonder if gas goes to $5, will I still praise God? I got news for you. God's not worried about the price of gas. You know, isn't it amazing all the things we fret over and God is sitting in heaven and thinking, you're so consumed and so worried about the price of gas when people need to be saved, God's work needs to be performed, there's a lot to be done, God's in control and God's on the throne, and God is probably saying, why in the world are you worrying about the price of gas? This psalmist was determined that his heart was going to be full of praise unto God. Why? Because of the works of God.
Because what God has done and what God was doing and what God was going to do. I mean, the psalmist was just assured that, hey, every day is going to be a bright day because God is on the throne. We can praise God this morning that our country hasn't been hit by terrorists like a lot of other countries. But let me ask you this. If we were to be hit very seriously by terrorist acts, are we still going to praise God? Or are we going to run off to the corner and kind of pout about how bad it is today and how, boy, how dark it is and terrorism and evil people and the world is just falling apart. And I mean, our country is falling apart and there's no hope, there's no future. Hey, dear friend, there's always hope and there's always future when God's alive. Sometimes I understand preachers, and I've been there a lot too, preach messages on doom and gloom, and it's dark outside, the day is short, and the darkness is very dark, and I understand all that, but I don't want to become a preacher of the Word of God and always be on the doom and gloom and the negative side all the time. It is dark outside, and it's very obvious that our world has deteriorated. Our country has deteriorated. Society is deteriorating, and that's very obvious unto us, but it's not God's fault, it's mankind's fault. And the answer to all the world's deterioration problems is God this morning. Every now and then, we ought to just proclaim how good God is. Instead of going to work on Monday, doom and gloom, because it's Monday and you got another 4 days before you get to another Friday, that's where most Americans live today. Oh, tomorrow's Monday, got to go back to work. When we ought to just praise God, we can go to work. Oh, I got to go back to the old job site. You ought to praise God, you have a place to go to work. Well, it'll be another 4 or 5 days before I get another day off. We all live to have another day off. Where most Americans are. When God's people ought to go to work tomorrow, ought to be on top side. We ought to go to work tomorrow with a smile on our face. We ought to have joy in our heart and praise on our lips unto God for all that God has done. You know, if every born-again believer would just go to work tomorrow with praise, it might make a difference in this world. Now, it's going to shock everybody when we go back to work and praise God tomorrow. What's sad is God's people are just as doom and gloom as the world's people. This psalmist was not like that. This psalmist said, you know what, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God with all my heart. And here's why I'm going to praise God. Because God has performed works in my life that are worthy of His praise. He describes a little bit. He doesn't go into detail. He doesn't pinpoint what God has exactly done in his life. He's kind of giving you just kind of a roundabout description of all that God does. He doesn't list by, point one, God's done this. Point two, God's done this. I mean, he's just telling you that God's hand is a marvelous work, and the works of God's hand in my life are very worthy of my praise. And so he's just determined he's going to praise God. Verse number 8, they stand fast forever and ever, talking about the commandments of God, and are done in truth and uprightness. Talking about the commandments of God. Let's throw this in here as well. You know, the commandments of God are not bad, they're good. You see, when we hear thou shalt not with it, well, that's something bad. It's not bad, it's good. Thou shalt not kill is a good thing. You see, our mind, our human flesh, when we read the commandments of God and we start reading through the thou shalt nots, we automatically think it's going to be something bad, and it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. In fact, the commandments of God is what's going to keep you out of trouble. The commandments of God, they're going to become an actual blessing in your life, not a hindrance in your life. He says in verse number 8, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto His people. We can stop right there and praise God for redemption. I'm glad God redeemed me. Psalmist. It's kind of just giving you a little bit of his
mind thought, his heart, if you would, when he mentions here, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. We all this morning ought to praise God for salvation a lot more than what we do. In fact, it might be good for us to just start off every day of our life just saying simply, God, thank you for saving me. I'm glad God is a God of salvation this morning. And I'm glad God saved me. And I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm glad of where I'm at this morning. I'm glad to be in the house of God. I'm glad to be with the people of God. I'm glad that heaven is my home. I'm glad this morning that the devil can do a lot of things in life, but he can never get my soul. See, this morning there's a lot to praise God for. He goes on. Number 10. Verse number 9, he sent redemption unto his people. And the word sin is talking about past tense. He's talking about how that God actually delivered the people of God. And there were many times that God had delivered and redeemed the people of God. There were many times when they were at wit's end. They were at the end of the rope, but yet God came through and God bailed them out and God protected them and God saved them and God redeemed them. And he's just reminding himself, you know, I've got to relive that. I've got to go back. I've got to go back in time and history and remind myself of all that God had done and how that God had redeemed his people. And it ought to be instruction to us this morning that you need to remember the day that God saved you. And you need to be able to daily go back to that time when God saved your soul. You need to be able to go back in history, go back in time, go back and relive that over and over and over, because when you go back and remember what God has done for you and what God did do for you, it's going to give you some encouragement. It's going to give you energy for that day. It's going to give you direction for that day. It's going to give you purpose for that day. And it's going to lift you up out of the miry clay. It's going to lift you up out of the valley. It's going to lift you up out of the darkness and put you in a bright place. Because all of us have bad days. We all have days that aren't going so well and we kind of get knocked down and boy, the devil jumps in and really makes it hard on us. But you know, one thing I can always do that nobody can ever take from me, I can always go back and relive the day that God saved me as a 13-year-old boy. And I realize that one moment, that one day, changed eternity for me. So he's reliving a little bit of that redemption unto his people in verse number 9. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Verse number 10, a well-known verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Let's go back and look at this real quick. Verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use a little more wisdom. If I were a little bit more wise, I wouldn't be in the troubles I am today. Wisdom helps in many ways. Number one, wisdom will help you make the right choices. It'll help you discern right from wrong. Wisdom will help lead you down the right path. Wisdom will keep you out of trouble. Wisdom will keep you out of problems. Wisdom will keep, it'll make life easier, if you would. And everybody this morning would probably admit we could all use a little more wisdom. Everybody will make comments at times that usually older people are more wise than younger people. That's very, very true because they have more experience. But I find here in verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom comes or begins when I fear the Lord. Very important that we understand that and how that we need to take that to heart and we need to put it to practice here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Continues on, a good understanding have all that do His commandments. You want a lot of understanding in life, then you've got to do His commandments. It's all conditional. It's all on you in this verse. You want wisdom? It all starts with fearing God. You want to understand a little better what takes place in life or have a better understanding of things in life? It all starts with obeying the commandments of God. It ends out by saying His praise endureth forever. Now I want to throw in first verse of 112. Same as beginning of verse number 111. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. We just talked about fearing God in verse number 10, and we find here that when you start fearing God, not only do you gain wisdom in life, but also you become very blessed in life. I think everybody likes blessings. We like to be blessed. Where does it all come from? It all comes from fearing God. It goes on, let's go back to 112 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delight greatly in His commandments. Delighting in God. Delighting in the commandments of God. Delighting in the Word of God. And we could go on through 112 as well, and you'll see the psalmist here as well describing the goodness of God, the hand of God. But I'm going to stop here. Our lesson was primarily over chapter 111. But we find here, may I remind us this morning of the importance of learning how to praise God. How to look for the benefits of God and the works of God in our life. Not to get to the point where we overlook the works of God, but that we diligently look for them, because that is what's going to create praise in our life. And we need to make a habit of just praising God for the works of God, because God is a wonderful God, deserving of all praise that we can give unto Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word this morning. And God, we don't say it enough, but God, we love You this morning. And God, we don't say it enough, but we're thankful also this morning for the salvation that You've granted unto us. Help us, Lord, to be a people of praise. Help us to be a people of rejoicing. Help us to be a people that daily in our life and in our routine of the week, we look for reasons to praise You. We look for works that we can praise You over. And Lord, may we be a people of praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.